Good morning. Glad to have you with us on Air Talk here on 89.3 KPCC. I am Kyle Stokes. I am in Larry Mantle's chair for this week. I'm so glad to be here. I'm so glad you're going to have me here. And I'm excited about having this conversation with you about all of the issues that we're going to discuss this week. And this hour, we're going to hear a very interesting conversation about the protests that are going on in Hong Kong right now. Massive pro-democracy protests pushing back against pro-Beijing legislation. But before we get to that, we have to get to this weekend's big story here in LA, and it's a sports story, the Lakers and the trade being talked about all around the NBA this morning. First, there was LeBron. Now there is LeBrow. I'm sorry, I had to do that pun. The Lakers announced plans to trade for New Orleans Pelicans big man Anthony Davis, one of the league's best players and by reputation one of the world's best unibrows, hence his nickname, The Brow, sometime nickname, I should say. He might have shaved it, actually. The Lakers had to give up a lot of young talent in the trade. Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, along with this year's fourth overall selection in the NBA draft. But LeBron James now has the superstar sidekick he's wanted. And after missing the playoffs for six straight seasons, the Lakers are contenders again and perhaps the top team in the West, if not the league overall. This is a win today move, so I want to hear from you about it. How are you feeling about the move? Are the days of Laker greatness back? Or did the Lakers give up too much in this trade, jeopardizing their own future? We are going to take your calls and reactions all this hour at 866-893-KPCC. Maybe you're a Laker fan who in 6 years have missed playoffs. Maybe you let your season ticket subscription expire. We want to hear from you. Or you may be regretting that decision now, trying to get back in on the action. 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722. Or the AirTalk page at kpcc.org. With me to discuss it is A. Martinez, our own co-host of Take Two, right here on KPCC, former longtime pre- and post-game show host for the Lakers. Thanks for being with us, A.
And as a man, Kyle, who threads his eyebrows twice a week, I've always been looking to see when Anthony Davis would actually make the move and make it two eyebrows. So far, he hasn't done it yet.
He
but maybe he's an LA guy now. Maybe he's going to just join all the rest of
he'll start doing hot yoga,
the
eating
metro
avocados.
Sexuals here that, that wax and thread.
And all of that stuff. And all of that stuff. You have impeccable eyebrows, yes, Martinez, I do have to say. So I'm wondering if you can set up the backstory here. The Lakers last offseason, of course, brought in LeBron James, and the idea was this was part one of a two-year rebuild here?
Yeah, and that was the whole thing, is to eventually build the team up to where it would be a championship contender that LeBron could direct, could be the centerpiece of. They tried to force a deal with the Pelicans at the trade deadline of this past season. Anthony Davis's agent behind the scenes tried to engineer it. The Lakers were not able to pull it off, and we still really don't know exactly what was the reason, and I think a lot of it had to do with the Pelicans, and their front office was still in a bit of a transition stage, so they didn't want to make any deal until they heard all the possible deals. But over the weekend, they were able to, at least every sports news site is reporting, that eventually the trade will go down, that Anthony Davis, arguably one of the top five players in the NBA, a power forward who averages nearly 30 points a game and 11 rebounds per game, will be coming to the Lakers in July for the upcoming season to pair up with LeBron James. They had to give up, Kyle, a lot of players to do it, but you know, they're young players who haven't established themselves, so the Lakers are saying, well, we've got a bona fide superstar in trading for a bunch of guys who really haven't proved anything yet. So that for them, that was a price that they're willing to pay.
Give up a lot of young talent as well as every draft pick, basically, until the end of time as well. Well, we should talk about the terms of this deal, which we understand is not yet final, with the Lakers beat reporter for the Los Angeles Times. Tanya Ganguly is with us. Thanks for being with us, Tanya.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, can you tell us about the terms of this deal? Our understanding is that it's not technically finalized, but the deal is essentially done, right?
Yeah, they've agreed to it. What's not final is when exactly the deal will be executed. And that has really big salary cap implications for the Lakers, because if they're able to move it back, if they're able to get the Pelicans to agree to wait until 30 days after the draft to do this trade, then they'll be able to have space for another max contract, and that'll be really big for them. But it doesn't seem like the Pelicans are going to be willing to do that, especially because that the fourth overall pick that they sent over is a big part of this trade and a big part of what the Pelicans are trying to use to, they're trying to flip that into a player. So it doesn't seem like they're going to do that. But as far as the terms, I mean, they're giving up three first round draft picks, another year they have the right to swap, and between 2024 and 2025, the Pelicans have the right to choose which of those picks they want.
Right.
It's a big deal. I mean, they also gave up three young players, two of whom were second overall picks in the draft recently. So they're giving up a lot, but it's for a really tremendous player who's still very much in the prime of his career.
Yeah. A. Martinez here in the studio with me also brought up sort of the backstory of how this deal came together came together in the end, but in February, it looked like it was causing problems for just about everybody involved, for executives on both the Lakers side and the Pelicans side. Can you talk us through that backstory here? Because I think that backstory of how the deal didn't get done back in January, February was just wild.
So in late January, Anthony Davis asked, his agent, Rich Paul, asked Del Demps, who was the general manager of the New Orleans Pelicans, to trade Anthony Davis. He told him that he didn't want to be with the franchise long term, that he would walk away in free agency in 2020, and that it would be better for everybody if he just traded him. After he made that request, it became public a few days later, and then once that happened, the Lakers really dove into trying to do this. They knew that they were one of the destinations that Anthony Davis was very interested in. They threw everything at it. But the problem was Del Demps was not willing to work with Rob Pelinka, who's the Lakers general manager. He would only take calls from Magic Johnson, who at the time was their top basketball.
Oh, man.
And Del Demps, even though he was taking calls from Magic Johnson, he really wasn't planning to trade Davis. That wasn't going to be something that happened. And so we kind of allowed the Lakers to keep making offers and keep making offers. And then a lot of those offers became public, and it really messed with the chemistry on the team, because a lot of the young players had never been through that before. They'd never heard their name being brought up in trades. They all thought, I mean, Lonzo Ball was just a year and a half removed from being called the face of the franchise at his introductory press conference. So, you know, it was tough for all the players, and it was also tough for them because they knew that LeBron was on the record saying he would love to play with Anthony Davis. And so that also damaged chemistry a little bit. And I don't think the Lakers really ever recovered from it. Del Demps got fired. And part of the reason why Magic Johnson stepped down, obviously, and part of the reason why this worked this time around was that David Griffin, who's now the top basketball executive in New Orleans, was much more willing to work with the Lakers than Del Demps had been.
Yeah. Tanya Ganguly, the Lakers beat reporter for the LA Times, kind of walking us through the Anthony Davis trade here that brings him to the Lakers, joins him with LeBron James, and now turns the Lakers into immediate title favorites. We want to hear your thoughts on this deal. Give us a call, 866-893-KPCC. Again, that's 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page. Is this a good deal for the Lakers? Are we talking about a title now, or are we talking about mortgaging the team's future? Want to take a few of those calls. Also mention that you can leave your comment on the AirTalk page at kpcc.org. Let's start with Ben in West L.A.
Hi, I was against the AD trade. I was also against signing LeBron. I would have preferred them build their young core and sign two younger max free agents. But given the dumpster fire that is the Lakers ownership and front office, this is probably their best available move. But they needed to do this, structure it in a way, as you guys were talking about, where they could sign another max free agent, and they seem to actually have botched that. So now here we are, depending on Laker exceptionalism to make up for Laker incompetence. And I think it's time to bring back Jerry Buss, Weekend at Bernie's style.
How does this affect you? I mean, are you a Laker fan, Ben?
Years old. I grew up in L.A. I grew up with Magic and Kareem, and I grew up with good ownership, where they made smart strategic decisions to plan for the present and the future. And they were completely set up to do that, where they structured their cap in a way where they could sign two max free agents over 2 years and then keep their whole young core so they could,
right,
for now and build for the future. They've blown that up. I understand why they did it at this point, but it wouldn't, given how much they gave up, and Tanya Ganguly, your beat reporter, was laying out three first-round picks, that they could have easily gotten the Pelicans to agree to let them sign a third max free agent. It just would have required delaying the signing of the number four pick in the draft to the end of the month. And the fact that they couldn't pull that off is just exhibit A for their utter incompetence. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, on the draft, well, I mean, I think a lot of Laker fans have PTSD from the Steve Nash trade, where we spent the last decade rooting against our own team so they wouldn't lose their picks.
Yeah, Tanya, I wonder if we can unpack some of that here. I mean, we've got these first-round draft picks that are going away in this deal, and you know, I think it seems to me like if this is a win-today move, you know, quote-unquote, that if you're trading away first-round draft picks, you're betting that this team is going to win, and then those first-round draft picks aren't going to be worth much.
Yeah, I mean, it's a boom or bust move for the Lakers, because if it works out, they're not going to miss those draft picks. The Pelicans are not going to want to swap with them if this works out and they're at the bottom of the draft every year. You know, so that can happen, but also, like, the Steve Nash, Dwight Howard trade, that was the last time the Lakers gave up this much. And, I mean, I started covering the team in 2016. They were still paying for it. That trade was in 2012. They hung on to the picks 3 years in a row because it got into the top three, and they were so lucky to do that. But you know, you did wind up with a situation where they were just paying for it and paying for it and paying for it until and they never really got what they wanted out of that trade. They never got a championship out of having Steve Nash and Dwight Howard there.
And Ben, thanks so much for your call. I wonder if you could weigh in here. I mean, Anthony Davis is 26. I mean, the sort of flip side to this about developing the young core is that he's a relatively young player, arguably in his prime. No, I'm not the basketball guy.
Yes, he absolutely is. And the thing about it too is when they brought in LeBron James, who is right now 34, he's going to be 35 at the end of this year. They've essentially pushed in all their chips to the length of his contract. They can't wait for young players to develop because LeBron James isn't getting any younger. And although he probably is going to age very gracefully because he keeps himself in tremendous shape and he's very, very smart, he'll adjust his style as he gets older. They have a four-year window with arguably the greatest player of all time in LeBron James. You can't wait for young players to make their mistakes and figure it out because you don't have the time to do it. And the other part about this, Kyle, is that for better or worse, LA is a star-driven town. You hone your act somewhere else and then you come to LA when you're ready. And that's what Laker fans have not had enough of over the last 6 years of missing the playoffs, is that star. They have LeBron, and now they have two stars, and maybe they can add a third. But that's the whole point of being in LA, is that you love watching those stars perform in front of you.
We're talking about that big blockbuster trade that was pulled off this weekend for Anthony Davis, the superstar from the New Orleans Pelicans, who now joins the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James in a quest to bring a title back to LA and a playoff appearance back to LA as well. We are taking your calls and we want to hear your thoughts. Has this changed the Lakers for the better or for the worse? Give us a call, 866-893-KPC. That's 866-893-5722 or the AirTalk page at kpcc.org/airtalks. Your calls and comments coming up right after a quick break. Keeping things rolling here on AirTalk, I'm Kyle Stokes in for Larry Mantle, talking about the blockbuster trade for Anthony Davis, bringing him into a Laker uniform alongside LeBron James, and now talking with you about how this affects the chances for the Lakers to bring a title back to the city of LA. We are taking your calls and comments at the AirTalk page, kpcc.org/airtalk, or at 866-893-KPCC. We've got a call and a question, actually, from the city of Orange and Mohammed. Mohammed, you're on AirTalk.
Hello. My question is, have trading away Lonzo Ball and not having a point guard right now for the Lakers, how does that affect their further free agency pursuits, having that vacant spot in their lineup?
Yeah, thanks for that question, Mohammed. Let's bring into the conversation here A. Martinez, a host for us here at KPCC and also a former longtime pre- and post-game show host for Lakers broadcasts. I mean, how does that affect their free agency pursuits having Lonzo Ball gone now?
Well, if they get no one else, LeBron James could be the de facto point guard if he had to be. He's a person that can really handle the ball very well. He's very intelligent. He knows how to run an offense. But if they can somehow make the money work, there are some big names that are going to be out there in different kinds of ways. Kyrie Irving, who is an all-star with the Boston Celtics, he's been rumored to want to go to Brooklyn or somewhere else and leave the Boston Celtics. He could be a possibility. Kemba Walker's another all-star caliber player who's a point guard. On this issue, Kyle, they won't have to spend a ton for a superstar. They can even go get a player they had before, D'Angelo Russell, who played for the Brooklyn Nets, who left amid a bit of a scandal with the Lakers, but he could come back. All they need is a somewhat intelligent, reasonable body in that spot. LeBron and Anthony Davis handle the rest.
Yeah, Tanya Ganguly, the LA Times Lakers beat reporter. How do you think that this affects their free agency pursuits, given that the Lakers don't have a natural point guard by trading Lonzo Ball away?
Well, not only do they not have a natural point guard, they only have one guard on the roster right now who has a guaranteed contract for next year, and it's Isaac Bonga, their second round pick last year. So not getting anyone is not an option for them. I think that Kemba Walker and Kyrie Irving are two guys that would be great for the Lakers. I don't know if they're going to be able to make the money work for that. Maybe they will. Maybe those are guys that will want to join this team and take a little bit of a pay cut to do that. Who knows what happens with them. But I do agree that this is an opportunity for Rob Pelinka, the Lakers general manager, to build a team and build a team the right way that gives them all the pieces they need. LeBron James is going to have a lot of the ball handling responsibilities. So you don't need a guy who's, you don't need a ball dominant point guard. But they're going to have to make smart decisions, which they did not do last year when they built their team. They surrounded LeBron with other ball handlers and didn't really get the shooting that they needed, and it didn't work. So we're going to get a really interesting look at how Pelinka does with building a team now.
Jack in Zurich writes on the Air Talk page, the biggest thing the Lakers did was get rid of the Ball kid and his 250 pounds of mouthy baggage that is his dad.
By the way, his father has put a curse on the Lakers. They will never win a championship now that they shipped his son away to New Orleans. That's what he said.
There was an interesting anecdote in the SI story that preceded this trade, actually, but asking the question, does LeBron and his agent Rich Paul run the Lakers now? And a Lakers spokesperson responded, quote, "That's not true," adding with exasperated chuckle, "Everyone knows that LeVar Ball runs the team," which I thought was a great anecdote. Let's go to Sam in Covina. Sam, you are on Air Talk.
Yes, I think the Lakers made a great move. It's all about winning today. I think bringing this gentleman from the Pelicans took about 5 years off of LeBron James' life. It brought new youth. And winning championships are now back in Los Angeles.
Sam, how big would you rate your Laker fandom?
On a scale of 1 to 10, a 15. GPA, my GPA in college was low because of Magic, James Worthy.
That's beautiful.
I wish I'd have used that excuse when I was in high school with my mom. Magic Johnson. Yeah. I'm paying too much attention to them.
This is only going to happen once in my life. Sam, thank you so much for your call. Michael in Glendale, let's go to you. You are on Air Talk.
Yes. Hi. How are you guys?
Great. What's your comment?
My comment is basically, as we've seen in the past, I think, the move is great. If we've seen from the past history, in the 80s, you had Magic. You had Magic as a guard and a center, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, dominating the 80s. And of course, with Kobe and Shaq in the early 2000s, they dominated. They dominated the Western Conference Finals and moved to the finals to win a championship. So having LeBron with Anthony Davis is, for Laker fans, no worries. The title is back in LA. You still got a few young guys. You still have Kuzma. You still have Rajon Rondo, who can be a backup to Kyrie. Hopefully Kyrie can make his way through. If they possibly get Jimmy Butler, it's a wrap. He's a great defender. And pretty soon the Lakers are going to be celebrating their parade on Figueroa Street. So this is it. It's a wrap.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate you calling into Air Talk. I want to throw one last question around to our panel here. And that's the sort of, you know, question that was raised in that SI cover story about the influence that these big star players have on the league now. The comment that LeVar Ball runs the team with exasperation. But that is bouncing off the accusation that LeBron and his agent are now really actually stacking the roster for the Lakers. And that the Lakers general manager and front office are just middlemen for all of this, and what that says about the league. A. Martinez, what does that say about the league?
Well, it says that players have more power than they ever have had, and especially in the NBA. When David Falk was the big agent in the 80s and Michael Jordan was one of his biggest clients, I think it'd be naive to think that whenever there was a move made that Michael Jordan or David Falk weren't somehow asked about it, consulted, whether it was publicly or privately. And that's what's going on now. LeBron James has the stature where you should run things by him and his agent when it comes to these big business moves. So, yeah, that's exactly what it shows, is that the NBA players have a ton of power and they've earned it by now.
Tanya, I want to throw that question as well to you, Lakers beat reporter for the LA Times, Tanya Ganguly. What does it say now that we've got, you know, two highly influential people in LeBron James and his agent, you know, arguably, you know, debatably stacking the roster for the team?
Well, I mean, I think it's exactly what A said, that players have a lot of power, and I think it's also rightfully so. I don't understand, you know, you hear a lot of this like, oh, the Lakers are trying to appease LeBron. Well, of course they are, and they should be, because he is the first superstar that came to them after they whiffed and whiffed and whiffed in free agency. And I always thought that their best shot at getting a free agent this summer was going to be LeBron recruiting that guy, because I think his connection to whoever comes in is going to be way more important than whatever the front office can tell them.
Tanya Ganguly is the Lakers beat reporter for the Los Angeles Times, here to discuss the blockbuster trade that brings in Anthony Davis, a superstar big man from the New Orleans Pelicans, here to the Los Angeles Lakers to join LeBron in a quest to bring a title back to L.A. Tanya, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem.
And A. Martinez, a host of Take Two, which you can hear this afternoon at 2 right here on 89.3 KPCC and a font of all things knowledge, Laker knowledge. Thank you so much for joining us, A.
Thanks, Kyle.
We'll be back in just a minute here on Air Talk with a discussion about Hong Kong. You're listening to 89.3 KPCC, and it's 11:30.